We're in Genesis 31. I had to take about 10 minutes to figure out where we had left off. It had been a while, and we're back to the book of beginnings. And whether or not you were with us at the very beginning of this study or not, this is a standalone text, if you will. It'll help. You'll catch on, and I trust the Lord will talk to us tonight through His Word. I think, and it's come out different ways. It comes in conversation. It comes through prayer. That God is sovereign, so that's something that is embedded in our spiritual makeup. God is sovereign, and God, along with that, God has a will. He has a will. He has a will for you. He has a will for the church. And His sovereignty meshes with that will. It is over His will, and He is going to move His church forward in these days. And He's going to move our lives forward. But would you agree with me that there are times that believers need to get, we need to be dislodged from the world, worldly entanglements, so on and so forth, and move forward in the will of God? We find that in Genesis. We'll see it in our story tonight, but It's also not only a Bible reality in the Old Testament, it's in the New as well. Just a couple verses from 1 John as we begin. Sorry, I told you Genesis 31, and we're all the way over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. We're going to warm up a little bit with these verses and then scoot right back to Genesis 31, and we'll take that chapter, not the whole chapter, just the first 21 verses, a verse at a time, and just see how that unfolds. See what Jacob had gotten bogged down in. Well, 1 John 2, verse 15, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." And then chapter 5 in verse 4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." So we have the world here. The world is antithetical to God and to His people. It's the world of darkness. It's the world that is intent on its own will. It doesn't acknowledge God. It does its own thing. But whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We're talking about the world of darkness. We're talking about the worldly world, the world that is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-God's people. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So we'll stop there, and we'll go back here to Genesis 31. We won't read all 21 verses at one time. We'll just start verse 1 and read and make comments. So verses 1 through 3. "Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons." All right, so Jacob has been working for Laban for 14 years. Now, if you don't think this guy's been bogged down in worldly affairs, okay, you got another thing coming. He's worked for his father-in-law for 14 years. He's got two wives. He worked for Leah for 7, was tricked because he actually thought he was working for Rachel, and had to work 7 more years to receive Rachel. And so now we're face to face with this situation in Jacob's life. He's bogged down in this situation, not for months, but for years. And he heard the words of Laban's sons. And I wonder, are they singing Jacob's praises at this point? Well, here's what they said. They said, "Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what belonged to our father, he has made all this wealth." Jacob saw the attitude of Laban, and behold, it was not friendly toward him as formerly. So during this time frame, things had changed. Laban's attitude had changed toward Jacob. They'd been through a lot. There was a lot of water under the bridge, and Laban's attitude has changed toward Jacob. Laban's sons are saying things about Jacob. Jacob's feeling a little uncomfortable here in this situation. And then the Lord speaks. Now, this is really going to hit home here in a minute. Hear what the Lord said to Jacob. "Return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you." So, back to square one. God is real and alive, and He has His people, and He has a will for His people. He has a will for you, just like He had a will for Jacob. God is interested in His will being done, and there is a time and place where sovereign God will use circumstances, as He did here, and He will use His word to dislodge you from a worldly entanglement in order to move you or advance you further into His will. That's true for the church. And that's true for you and I. What was the circumstance? Well, we just outlined it. Basically, Laban's attitude had changed toward Jacob. And Jacob could feel it. It's like that old country song. Is it cold in here, or is it just you? Right? Remember that old country song? Is it cold in here, or is it just you? Well, Jacob could have been singing that to Laban. Because all of a sudden, things were kind of icy and dicey in that household. Jacob had worn out his welcome, and he could feel it. God is using and working through circumstances. We have to be really careful about how we discern how God is using circumstances. But in this case, God is using circumstances to dislodge Jacob from this household and to move him toward God's will, which God had revealed to Jacob earlier. And not only does God use circumstances, I think the pivotal statement here is what God has to say to Jacob. Right? If you say, well, you know, circumstances are what they are, but God's word comes into play. God's word reveals His will. And God says to Jacob, you need to advance. Yeah, you know, you've been here long enough. You need to move forward. You need to grow spiritually. You need to learn. You need to mature in God, in Christ. You need to grow in your knowledge of God through His Word. So the Lord says to Jacob, and it's very simple and very plain, "Return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you." Now, remember, God had called Abraham to that land. He's calling Jacob to return to the land. Jacob had been there, and now he has to go back. God tells him to go back to that place. So, I want you to hear that. God wants us to move forward. That's His will. His will is for us to grow. His will is for us to advance. And it is regardless of the circumstances. Many times we have to disentangle from the world, from the affairs of the world, and focus on God and His will and step out in faith. And then the Lord speaks, and He reminded Jacob of His will. Verses 4 through, I think, all the way through 16. Jacob is going to be reminded of what a great God he serves. And we'll see that as we read verse by verse. And you need to be reminded, listen, whenever we're going to step out in faith toward God's will, toward what he has for us, we need to be cognizant of who God is. We need to know what he has done for us and how he has worked. And sometimes we're dull of understanding that. God is always working on our behalf. He's always helping. He's providing. He's doing what he does. And sometimes we're not very keenly aware of that. We don't acknowledge it very much. But we should. And we shouldn't be blind to the way God has worked. And so through this next portion of Scripture, even though the circumstances are what they are, and Jacob's basically worn out his welcome, God nevertheless has worked during the time that Jacob has served his father-in-law, Laban. Verse 4, so Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to his flock in the field. Okay, so things are starting to move, right? He's called Rachel and Leah together, and he said to them, I see your father's attitude, that it is not friendly toward me as formerly, but the God of my father has been with me. So he acknowledges God has been with him. You know, circumstances may not be what we want them to be, but that doesn't mean that God has forsaken us or that God has somehow deprived us or let us down. Jacob sees things the way they are, and he even acknowledges the fact that God has been with him. And that's a tremendous acknowledgement. The God of my father has been with me. And you know what? It couldn't have been all roses during that 14 years. It couldn't have been a happy moment when he realized he'd worked that first 7 years for Leah when he really thought he was working for Rachel. Surprise! And then Laban signs him up for 7 more years of hard labor so he could have the daughter of Laban, Rachel, that he wanted in the first place. But he says, God's been with me. I wonder, do you and I have that kind of spiritual aptitude to acknowledge the fact that even in the hard times, God's been with us? Even when we were as low could be, God has been with us. God's presence has been there. He says, you know, so he's still with Rachel and Leah here. He says, you know, I've served your father with all my strength. You know, Jacob had grown up, hadn't he? Yeah, Jacob had matured during this time. You know, you can remember his dealings with Isaac and Rebekah and with Esau. And Jacob is... he's grown some. Now, he's not at the finish line with that growth, but he's grown up. And he says, I've served your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. However, God did not allow him to hurt me. So there it is again. Here's the hard part. Laban cheated him. Laban, he says, changed his wages 10 times. But here's his however, and I trust we'll always have a however when we're going over the hard times. He says, God did not allow him to hurt me. And that's God's protection right there. So he's reminded of God's presence with him in hard times, and even in the difficulty of a relationship that he had with Laban, the father-in-law, he says, God didn't allow him to hurt me. So even when Jacob was in the pressure cooker of life, even when he was really obligated to be there that length of time and he wouldn't have predicted he'd have been there that long, God protected him and God was with him. Can you recall times in your life that God has protected you? Listen, God protects his own. In relationships that sometimes go south, God takes care of us. Verse 8, if he spoke thus, he's referring to Laban and how he talked to Jacob. He said, the speckled shall be your wages. Then all the flock brought forth speckled. And if he spoke thus, the striped shall be your wages. And all the flock brought forth striped. Thus God has taken away your father's livestock and given them to me. So in that time, God not only was with him and God protected him, but God really increased Jacob's wealth during that time significantly. Thus God has taken away your father's livestock and given them to me. And it came about at the time when the flock were mating that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream. And behold, the male goats which were mating were striped, speckled, and mottled. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob. And I said, here I am. See God's intervention throughout this whole thing. Here's a dream. This came from God. And this is what he said in verse 12. Lift up now your eyes and see that all the male goats which are mating are striped, speckled, and mottled. For I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, where you made a vow to me. Now, arise, leave this land, and return to the land of your birth. God is just revealing the word, his word and his will to Jacob here. God is reminding Jacob of his goodness to him. And I think for us to advance, I think for us to go forward in the Lord, I think we need that reminder of who God is. We need to recall experiences that we have had with the Lord. When we were hurting, when we were grieving, when we were at our lowest point, and to recall that God was right there, not only with us, but he was working out our sanctification. Because he's making Jacob, whose name means swindler, heel grabber, cheater, he's making him into a prince. And he used Laban, who was a cheater, to help turn Jacob into that prince. Tremendous teaching here as far on a personal level of growth in God, of knowledge of God, and then how he uses circumstances and his word, a timely word, to really advance. And I'm really trusting through this that God will use this to advance us forward another step in him for his glory. So in verse 14, Rachel and Leah get to speak. Jacob had his time. He spoke. And now it's Rachel and Leah. And they said, do we still have any portion or inheritance in our father's house? Now listen to this. Now, this is interesting. Rachel and Leah know that they're not that good between Jacob and Laban. And you know what they ask? They say, what about the inheritance? Do we still have anything? I mean, Jacob, it's obvious that you and our dad are not doing too well. You're not on really good terms. Do we still have any portion or inheritance in our father's house? Are we not reckoned by him as foreigners? So it sounds like things were really bad between Laban and his girls. For he has sold us. And has also entirely consumed our purchase price. Surely all the wealth which God has taken away from our father belongs to us and our children. Now then, do whatever God has said to you. You know what they just said? They said, you know what, Jacob? While God was taking care of you, he was also taking care of us, and he was taking care of our children. Whatever God's told you to do, let's do it. They were ready to leave the house. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, just think about the circumstance. 14 years working for his two brides. Things aren't on good terms between Jacob and Laban. And now there's this, things have really, they were like today's daily dose, kind of sideways. I put the phone on there wrong and I was sideways. But things have gone sideways here. And that wasn't good. But they're saying, look how God worked. Not only is Jacob ready to move on and move forward in God, but Leah and Rachel are ready to move forward in God, and God is protected, and God is blessed, and God has worked. God has brought His word to Jacob, and they're ready to move. I wonder what happens next. We're only going through 21 tonight. We'll get the last half of this next week. But I wonder what happens next. Well, verse 17, then Jacob arose and put his children and his wives upon camels. I mean, it's time. Where are the camels? Kids, we're ready to leave. So there they are. Can you imagine all of those children, those wives, those camels? And he drove away all his livestock and all his property which he had gathered. I mean, this is a caravan. His acquired livestock which he had gathered in Paddan Aram to go to the land of Canaan to his father Isaac. I mean, can you imagine that day? I mean, dust and camels and everything goes with it. And kids. I mean, I can't imagine a more pleasant sight than camels and kids. When Laban had gone to shear his flock, so they're leaving and Dad's left. Doesn't sound like he has any help left. Sounds like he's got to go shear the flock. Then Rachel stole the household idols that were her father's. Oh boy. And Jacob deceived Laban, the Aramean, by not telling him that he was fleeing. So he fled with all that he had, and he arose and crossed the Euphrates River and set his face toward the hill country of Gilead. So here's the problem. The problem, even in victory, is us. Okay? It's one thing to know how to lose, right? Be a good loser. But here Jacob has everything going for him. Everything's going for him. God's for him. He's got these camels. His dad's out, or his father-in-law's out shearing the sheep. And then, lo and behold, Rachel. What is she doing? What is Rachel? Somebody explain to me. What is Rachel doing? Oh, wait. I got to run back in the house. I'm going to grab my dad's idols and take them with us. What are we doing? What is she doing? But here's the thing. What's going on? And then Jacob is deceiving Laban by not telling him that he was fleeing. We've talked. We've had a few conversations. It just didn't come up. No big deal. We'll get back to him later. Really? So what's the problem here? Well, it looks like they want to inflict a little retribution. Gentle retribution on Laban as they leave in victory. And here's what that does when we resort to that. Okay? What's the victory that overcomes the world? We just read it. It's our faith. Our faith in God. And when God is so good to us to work in the midst of our trouble and to really sanctify us and to make us more like Jesus And then even in the midst of all that trouble, we know God's with us and His blessing is on us and He's providing for us and His word is so clear and so sure and so instructional for us, and we've got all these things going for us, and we decide to take matters into our own hands and inflict just a little, what I call gentle retribution. He ain't gonna hurt nothing, right? Except Laban's going to miss his idols. Little gentle retribution. And everything will be all right. This just complicates our lives. And it complicates our lives with regard to advancing the gospel of Jesus. So God's got a will. He's got a lot of will to be accomplished in you and in me and in His church and in advancing the gospel, advancing the kingdom. And He does that as He sanctifies us, as He puts us in pressure situations for longer than we might have wanted to be in those situations. And He teaches us, but His word is vibrant. And the fact that He's with us sustains us in all of that. You and I need to relax. Listen, we are on the winning side. I listened to the prayers. It was acknowledged that He is on His throne. God is on His throne. I read the end of the book. He never abdicates His throne. He's on His throne. We win. We need to march forward in God, in His gospel. We're in the Lord. And rejoice in Him and forgive those. Forgive those who know not what they do. Doesn't mean you have to agree with them. Just means you forgive them. And it means you march on with God. Because that is what's important. That's what's important. Your advancement of the kingdom. Father in heaven, thank you for Genesis 31. I would have thought just an unlikely place to really learn a whole lot. But Lord, your word is good and true and to the point. And it hits us where we live. Thank you for that. Lord, with my brothers and sisters tonight, help us. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Help us to move forward in advancing the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And help us to move forward in sanctification for our own lives personally. Lord, that we will learn and grow and that we will rejoice in you. And we will be mindful of who you are because you're greater. Then you're obviously greater than your creation and you're greater than any circumstance that can ever come against you. So we give you praise. Go with us tonight. And Lord, all the prayer requests that we heard tonight, we double down on those right now. Lord, for the physical aches and pains, for the spiritual hurts and the grieving and the emotional trauma that so many have faced. Lord, we pray that in you, each person will find the supply that they need, the strength to carry on, the clarity of thought of knowing your will. And Lord, that you will receive all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask. Amen. Amen.